when you're praying in tongues, it's actually you doing the praying because he transfers the authority. You're the one that has the authority. So he creates that language inside of your spirit, and which then it's transferred to your brain waves, and your tongue begins to shape and form the language he's gave you. But it's you. You're the one that's doing the praying. You're the one that has the authority. You can't do that any amount of time and have the perfect prayer being prayed for you that something is not going to change. It's going to. It's going to change. One or two things will happen. You'll go through the change or you'll quit praying. You won't be able to do both. But when it comes to worship, worship at times is a very high form of confession. You can't suspend your spirit in the presence of God any amount of time and come out the same. You just can't do it. The thing with emotion, it generally bypasses your intellect. It has a lot more to do with the heart. So if you're confessing the word, sometimes we'll do it and you'll get results. You will get results. As God is truth, he doesn't have truth. He is. He is. He doesn't lie because he can't. He can't. So he is truth. So when you're speaking the word, you're speaking something he said. If it's about your problem, he can't lie. See? Well, when you're worshiping and speaking his word, generally you're bypassing your intellect and your emotions is carrying it. But when you stand up and belligerently speak the word, it's generally us doing what we know is right and produces results. Well, you can't. You can move God, but you can't. Basically, you won't get him to do something new, because everything he does, he's provided for. He's paid for it at the cross. You're already healed. You're already prosperous. Well, how come? How come? Well, how come? How come? Well, the only bridge he asks you to gap is something that's called faith. We live in this world and we believe in what he has for us in that one. And the bridge just happened to be called faith. Well, there's ways you can increase your faith too on purpose. Because you want to. And the moment you believe, it's when it happens. Well, maybe no. No, what he's provided for you, you believe it, it'll happen. Well, what if it never happens? You didn't believe it. You're hard. No, I'm not religious. If I got run over by a truck and then I rolled down a hill and got hit by an ambulance that threw me 200 yards and I skinned all the... And then somebody stepped on me when they were hiking and I'm laying there. The ambulance picks me up and I end up in a bed next to somebody and they're not saved. And I get them saved. Now I know why he ran over me. No, really. Let's see. God, if you wanted me to go to that hospital, why didn't you just tell me? Don't mistake him. He doesn't do that stuff to you. And after all he's did from the garden to now, tedious law. Oh my God. Like threading a needle over and over again. You can't do this. You can do that. No, it has to be done this way. All of that for the day you'd be free sitting here looking at us. All of it. Everything he did. You think it makes a difference between people? Just Adam had the whole human race on a program inside of him. You think you're any less than he was? You're not. You're not. And he did all of that for you. And if you were the only person here lost, then he'd have done the same thing. He'd have done what's necessary if it took 7,000 years to get you back. So when you go into his presence to pray, keep it in mind. See, keep this in mind. Why wouldn't he answer your prayer? Why wouldn't he? Well, I need to think up some good reasons why he should. No, you don't. He loved you and he paid the price. That's why he does things for you. Not because you talked him into it. All you have to do is believe he loved you that much. You can start doing that right away. You can't worship him for doing something for you. Submerge your spirit in the presence of God and stay the same. You can't do it. You're going to change somewhere. Hallelujah. Now, I wouldn't want to hear the song you'd make up about being healed. I'm so glad I'm healed. Leave it with the movies. Hallelujah. But all I can glorify, magnify, and exalt and lift you up. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not sick anymore. And the reason I'm not is because of you. I almost got healed right there, and I don't know of what. Hallelujah, Jesus. Right now, I want to give him a bath in worship. I'm going to give God a little bath in worship, you know. Just a little bar of soap. You know, come on. Of course, we know the stand he's talking about. It's the stand you make in the Spirit. Huh? Setting or standing. I'm so glad we're not under law. Had to be because we had a death nature. Just, the world's always at war, killing each other at the drop of a hat. Started when it's four people in the world with wives. That's just the nature, so the penalty had to match the nature. You kill them, we're going to kill you. The only reason they wouldn't kill them is because they didn't want to be killed. That's the only way you stop something. You have to make the punishment worse than the crime. You'll try to control that death nature. But it's hard not to be what you are. See? Well, you think they like turning loose of their money? They didn't like it. So they had to be put under law. Same thing. Punished if they didn't. Rewarded if they did. But this is a little different in our dispensation. I got free from law because I have a nature. It doesn't have to be governed by law anymore. I've got this body all right, but it doesn't have ascendancy over me. He's already told me the position that it has. If Christ be in you, is he? Yes. Then the body's dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. positionally, this body, as far as controlling over you, has been declared positionally dead. It may feel like it has the last say so at times, but it really didn't. You mean? Yeah, I mean, really? Really, you didn't have to do that. See, well, the last thing I would want, and that he would want, is he'd have to use scare tactics. Put me under law to get me to give. No, thank you. No, thank you. He doesn't have to. Hallelujah. He doesn't have to. Now, people are upset with us. But they can be upset or set down. They're upset, but I don't care. I mean, I do care for them. But as far as their judgment they've passed on us, I don't care. He's teaching me more and more what turns his blessings loose. And I'm not going to turn loose of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm finding out that the real worthy foe of God, that he listed them together. Men usually serve one of them. You can't serve God. And the worthy foe was mammon. So I've found out the manifestation of the new nature that just really, really puts the mammon in its place. It exalts God. And that's the love of God. And even more than that, the manifestation of that love, which seems to manifest itself in compassion. Do I want to go back to law? No. It better be a cold day in hell. He has to force me into doing anything. Hallelujah. Why do you give? Oh, not just because I know I'm taken care of. Or should we say, with the law adjustment, not because I'm rich. Yes, sir. I don't do it because there's wealth pending on the horizon. I do it because I love him. And I know he's taken care of me. And I know the same worthy foe I know that the same Father who kills the diseases is the same Father that brings my supply. Only thing I can say is it was a good thing Alan was with me again. Or you wouldn't hardly believe it. Well, Alan, you better come up and get the mic probably, and so we can get this right. Hallelujah. First of all, some of you wondered about him taking the leash off of me. And I've even heard rumors as far as the other side of town.
Oh, what? Are we not going to have a revival now?
Just the opposite. After I got what he brought me off the road for, then he began to release me then. and my promise to people that as soon as I could, I would come. But this meeting that I just got through in Maryland, right on Washington's doorstep, Capitol. Anyway, the meeting we just got done. I don't know why he told me to go. I didn't remember anything. I'd never went there before. But after it was done, I just couldn't help but weep. Couldn't help but cry and everything. And it's one of those things, it's hard to tell. He called and asked, the pastor Paul, he wanted me to meet her. So we met with her the first day we got there. About the woman pulled me through the car window almost and hugged on me, cried. This woman has a lot of authority. She's the one that went out and just about ordered a lot of the preachers to come in. And so she's got that authority from those days that she legislated in the days of legislating for National Day of Prayer and involved with the pastors. And so it was her that went out and solicited a whole lot of the people that came. Well, she got a hold of the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. And with all that authority she has with pastors in higher places, things like that, she has been spreading that book like crazy. She just ordered another bunch that she's bringing into the Senate. Not only that, it's infiltrated a college. There was between 30 and 40 college students there worshiping God because they got a hold of that book and read it. We met person after person. And they loved us. God moved. Maybe 50 was filled with the Holy Ghost. And lives were changed like crazy. So somehow, this woman now is taking more. And all those pastors and people that's under authority, she's the one that has the ability to get this to them, which is what she's been doing. So this is the kind of thing that we stepped into. Now, I didn't know when I said, yes, I'll go. Gosh, I didn't know all of that. Another meeting to me. I heard a few rumors when they got on the phone and start talking, but I thought, yeah, right. But what we had to figure out here, years ago in Benny Hinn's meeting, Maurice was playing, so he invited me to sit in the front row in the front section. More honorable guests kept coming. I ended up with him way out of the front section. Did you care? Didn't care a bit. When I was getting ready to leave, it's one of those times I stepped into the Spirit for a minute. And I saw all those people, and a lot of them had been healed physically. But I had just been introduced somewhat, a little bit, to that anointing that manifests itself in compassion. Just a little. And he told me then, that day, he says, this is my goal. I don't want to just heal the front guy that he sends to church. I want to heal the guy that stays at home and doesn't let everybody know who he is. He said, that's what this anointing is about. So in seeking him, these years home, I stepped into enough of his compassion where I understood different things. And he says, okay. Okay, now. Now you can go back, but he made me hold to two things. One is whether I was out or in, running around a lot or not, that I would maintain as much as possible at the same time in his presence, because it was necessary. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now that I understand what you did in Maryland, I'm understanding a little bit that sometime something is changing. It's in a transition. The only worthy foe that I've ever known that could stand up against the money and all of that was the love of God. When he said, if he's faithful in little, or he's not faithful in little, who can commit to his trust the true riches? There's only one true riches. It's you. Everything else will be gone. Nobody that's been born since Adam does not exist. They're all somewhere. The reason we're here, you think he couldn't have had an alternative planet that you could be born again and go there? No. He left us here for a reason. He said, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If I haven't trusted you with the mammon and righteousness, who'll commit to your trust the true riches? What is the true riches? You know. It's that city next to us with everybody lost. If I don't have that in my mind, that's why he'll give you this. This isn't a miracle wallet either. This is a sure thing. I'm over here. I can't help it. See? I'm okay unless you take my Starbucks. Come on. You know what mercy is, don't you? Reroll. You'll go to Luke 6. I'm going to make a quicker work out of it. So we covered it once, boldly. But he opened up another level to me. And his love. And again, it's correlation with money. So it won't take me long since I preached this in minute detail, probably 6 weeks ago. Preach it again. Thank you. You might not have heard it. That's right. You could have been gone or resting. Yeah. Yes. All right. I want to hear it again too. Yes. We got to go to the end of the chapter first. And I really want my house on the rock. It doesn't seem to matter the storm. It just doesn't matter. It can rage and beat, do what it wants. You're not going down. The reason you're not, because he said you're doing his sayings. So it doesn't matter how bad the storm rages, your house is not going down. But notice this man dig deep. Dig past all the trash. Was looking for the stone. Well, you know, you can make the verses say about anything you want. But he was digging for something real. This house is not going down. See? And that's what he said. 47th verse, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Let me show you what he's like. He's like a man who's built a house and he dig deep into those sayings, deep. Laid the foundation on them, on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. Could not even shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. Of course, that rock was doing his sayings. So you know the sayings I uncovered here. This about everybody does them all the time, totally liberally. You know, just they just really love to do it. The sayings I preferred, I could say to the mountain, you know, and give, and it shall be given to you, heap down, pressed together, running over. That was a favorite. You know, give, and it shall be given unto another one. And but I didn't have to go back far, if you remember, to find out what sayings he was correlating to this subject, which is verse, how could I forget it? 27. But I say unto you which hear, now here goes the sayings. Don't you just love them? Love your enemies. And if that isn't enough, do good to them which hate you. Oh, well, if that wasn't enough, bless them that curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. Wait a minute. What kind of sayings are these? And well, maybe 29 will improve. And to him that smites you on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away your coat, and forbid him not to take your cloak also. I mean, here he's running away with your cloak. And you say, wait, you forgot this part. Oh, look at this one here. This one's horrible. He acts like we have an inexhaustible supply. Give to every man that asks of thee. And to him that just takes your goods anyway, borrows them, does anyway, don't ask him again. And as you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise, which is the golden rule. Whatever I would that you do to me like I do you, or I'll treat you like I would that you treat me. And I did that. When I discovered this verse, I went, oh, wow. So people stab me in the back. And they stabbed me and stabbed me. And I was real good to them. I treated them like I'd like to be treated. Really good. And they come and they searched my back looking for a place where there wasn't a knife. And they stabbed a knife in me again. And I went, well, wait a minute, I'm running out of space. So I was good again, and then they found they had to move a couple of knives over a little, but they got another one in my back. That was amazing. And I said, but God, look what you said. And as you would that men should do to you, do also them likewise. And I did, and they just went and got more knives. He says, well, this is the golden rule. You know, as you would that men should treat you, treat them that way. God says, that's how I'll end up treating you. Whew. I'll treat you that way. Oh, that's good. Okay, put another knife in my back. Not only will he take it out and operate on my back, but he'll give me a diamond coated knife. We said in 30, if you would that men should do to you, do them likewise. Okay, thanks for, I'm just real glad, God, that you stepped in to treat me that way. They're not. He says, for if you love them that love you, what thank have you? Sinners do that to each other, you know. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? Sinners exchange that. And if you lend to whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Sinners do the same thing and receive much again. But here's his summary, but love your enemies. Do good. Lend hoping for nothing. Again, your word shall be great. You're the children of the highest. He's kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Be you therefore what? Mercy. Rewrote my life. Be therefore mercy as your father's mercy. He's asking you to have mercy on these people. It'd help if we knew what mercy was.
Is it grace?
No.
What's mercy? Can you tell me?
If you'd quit nasalating, I would. Come home and big dog's got little dog. You know, little bitty, teeny little chihuahua thing. A big German shepherd. He's got the little chihuahua down. The little chihuahua bears his throat. He goes, okay, here's my throat. He's asking for mercy. Now, most dogs will give it. They'll give the mercy. They're not like people. Anyway. And so, he lets the little dog up, lets him go. So he had mercy. Mercy would be when you came home and you heard something in your house. And you get your big old double-barrel shotgun and you bring it out. And this guy is carrying away your football television. I mean, you have the big screen where you can watch football and he's pushing it out the door. And you go, hey, put the big screen back. He said, oh, please don't shoot me. I will put it back now. Please, sir. My family's hungry. I'm hungry. This is the only thing I'll get to bring them home tonight is when I sell this and get some food. Please have mercy on me. He goes, well, okay, put it back. Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you. And he puts it back. You know the difference between mercy and grace? Grace takes that person that it had mercy on, adopts them into his family, gives them his last name and an inheritance in his house. That's grace. So he said, be you merciful, even as your father's merciful. He had mercy on me when I was lost. You too. But now you stepped into his grace. You are his son and his daughter. Unless you're not saved. You know. But you will be by the end of the service. Hallelujah. Well, now he's bringing the summary. He's bringing the conclusion. You know, as we've taught for a few years, how did they use Luke 6:38? How does everybody use it?
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom, for the same measure that you met will be measured to you again.
So we use that for offerings. Give. Give till it hurts. I'm going to help this out. This give and it shall be given unto you. This thing will probably be full, you know, $100,000 in a week for you. My miracle wallet, if you just give $1,000 today. Come on. I'll put you under the law of goodness. Don't you wish they'd guarantee your miracle like that? Get in my line, you'll be healed within a week. They don't seem to do that. But once they get the money, they can run and use that. Well, what is this verse really saying? Okay. Now notice in 35, he's running over all the things he said so he could give you his guarantee. He says, but meaning this is your alternative, see. This is what you're supposed to do. But love ye your enemies. Instead of, love your enemies instead of hating them. Love your enemies and do good. Lynn, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. You'll be the children of the highest, for he's kind to the unthankful and the evil. So here he goes. Instead of judging, be you there merciful as your father's merciful. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you won't be condemned. And they take away, you slaps you in the face, forgive him. Turn the other cheek, and you shall be forgiven. And then that guy takes away your goods, steals them and everything. Give and it shall be given unto you. Yeah, but he took my stuff away. I didn't give it to him. I just loaned it to him. And he took it and left. And he never paid me back. And give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I like that. You get as much as you can. You press it down and rattle the basket. And it settles in a little more. And then he can get more in it. Running over, shall men give to your bosom. And notice it's got a natural source. They're coming at you. Men shall give unto your bosom the same measure you met with all. It shall be measured to you again. So whatever this guy took. Now this is when he shocked me again. I don't know if it'll shock you like that. He's willing to do that. I hold the blood up to you. Take my stuff. Slap me in the face. Do evil to me. And I refuse to do anything. Steal my money. And I refuse to do anything. You just hold that blood up. Hold that testimony up. You're the one he's talking to. Whatever that guy cost you. Because you just held the blood up there and says, no, you're not going to get me to do anything bad to you. Because he loves you. He died for you when you like you are. He said he'll heap it down. Shake it together. He even lets you know the course or the source. The course it'll take. He said, you don't expect it from the sky. You don't dig a hole. The sure thing. He can cause. He said, men. In other words, he's going to pay you heaped down, pressed together, running over the amount that this guy cost you because you refuse to do nothing but hold the blood up. Usually preachers don't get past getting mad that it's not a service offering. That's too bad. That's too bad. You've already been taking too many rides down that road. Believing him for needs, for finance. He loves to do that for you. Just as much as he loves to heal you. He loves to hand out the new nature when you're born again. See? But he doesn't take us to another planet when we're born again. Then send forth some little team, maybe. He left us all here with a lot of promises. He wants the people that are not saved. That's why we're here. I mean, what is life? He shortened it way down. You know, from Noah. Noah made it 950. He made it through the whole half of the dispensation of the flood. Born 1,000 years after Adam. Lived 1,000 years. Adam was 930. Methuselah, 969. Jared, 962. Noah, 950. Nobody lived the day out as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just one day. Nobody. The only ones that lived it out was the millennial, Jesus and his bride. He did that for a reason. Do you ever wonder why the devil was chained up 1,000 years in a bottomless pit? Then turned loose? If I chained him, I'd have left him there. I wouldn't turn him loose on humanity again. You know what he did? He did what he did to the first man, Adam, but now the second man, Adam. He lived the day out that he said you'd die with his bride, us. He lived the day out. After we lived that day out, he said we wouldn't live. Then Satan come back in the garden. And the last Adam did what the first one was supposed to do, threw him out. And we were over. New heaven, new earth, over. Judgment, over. So he left us here. Because the guys that are lost, he loves them as much as he does you. He wants them. It's one reason for money, but you have to get over fear. Got to get over fear. So what part did you want to shock us with this time? I was just minding my own business. Yeah, I was just calculating and thinking great things to myself. I wasn't bothering anybody with them. Then all of a sudden he switched roles on me. He said, let's just suppose that you're the guy. I said, yeah. He gave all that, you know, it was so good to him. No, he said, you're the other guy. You despitefully used him, beat him up a couple of times, slapped him around, always took his money, always trying to ruin his life. He said, what if that was you? I said, me? Yeah. Slapping him around, always using him, ruining his life. He said then, you know what I think you're worth? I'll pay that other guy. That's what he was doing. I'll pay that other guy. Whatever it costs him, I'll pay him back with interest. To hold on and hold my blood up before you. I'll pay him to do that for you. You would? Yes, because I love you. You mean you love me enough to pay some guy to put up with me until I get saved? He said, you got it. Good land. Why wouldn't he give you if he loves you that much? Paid somebody. Paid them to put up with you until you were saved. Come on. I went, oh my God. He said, yes. Look at that sin. Come on. Does he love you or what? See, I knew how ornery I could get. And he did that. When I saw that just this time, I couldn't get over it. Pay somebody. Bless the living daylights out of him to put up with me. Because he believed I was worthy. Give us that, see. Home to the Kriya Telev. Naskidoche. You're here. And that's a statement, a fact. Some of you more than others. But what it is he wants me to make the Holy Spirit available. Both of us talked a lot about it. Anybody that testifies will talk about it. Can you imagine God finally looking at us little creatures down here and saying, I guess we're going to have to do their praying for them if we can get them to open their mouth. That you're here and you can't speak with tongues. I think that's why you're here. Well, I'm not sure I believe in it. Then throw the rest of your Bible away too. You're here and you want to be filled. You want that supernatural language that you can pray His plan out in your life. And He didn't leave you. What did He say? I'll send another comforter. He'll guide you into all truth. Well, how do I follow Him? Well, when you start praying in tongues, you automatically being guided supernaturally by Him already. You're not going to pray the revelation of mysteries contained in the Word up before the Father without understanding them eventually. So you're here and you can't speak with tongues. You want to. Come up here. Come up here. And we've never known them not to be here. You know how that meeting went there? I was just standing right here and some guy, he thought he had committed the unpardonable sin. And the Lord started talking to me about it. I said, you tell him he's not even capable of it. He don't even know enough. And the guy jumped up right to my left. Jumped up and started sobbing like crazy and running over and got grabbed a hold of me and bawled because he knew that God come to tell him that he was okay and that's all he needed. God, it was worth the whole trip. He kept telling me things like that and people kept getting set free. So the likelihood of you being here is about 2-3 million%. So come up. You want to speak with tongues? You want to receive? If you believe you're already filled, do you want to receive the manifestation of that gift with your infilling? Come up. Come up.